The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Every morning, a new opportunity to take in the news of the day and the challenges of life and try to make sense of it all. Right now, we've got a show that tackles the topic
and asks what you think.
So get ready to start your day with a bold look at history as it happens. Let's learn, live, sometimes laugh together. It's the Mark Davis Show on 660 AM. The Answer.
And a good morning, everybody. It is Thursday, the 18th day of October 2018. We get a little, some kind of little bit of a let up on the rain today in what is already on record as the wettest start to fall in the history of keeping track of such things. So as we take a look at all of our hot topics today, we pilot you through the day and hope everything is safe and good in your house and in your work and everything that you do. Our telephone number is 866-660-5759. That's where you bring stuff that you're thinking about, either in response to stuff I say or just something you woke up and said, you know what? I think this is talk show worthy. 866-660-5759. The continuing heroism of Lindsey Graham on a whistle-stop tour of cable shows these days, reminding people what is at stake in the midterms. We'll let you hear some of that. The Mavericks were in action last night. They lost to the Phoenix Suns 121-100. There was a slow start. Then they clawed back a little and got blown away in the fourth quarter. But the buzz this morning is that Mark Cuban has not been sufficiently forthcoming in the minds of a lot of local reporters about the horrible off-the-court stuff in Dallas Mavericks land. The Mavericks office is apparently poisoned by repeated, unrepentant, and unmitigated sexual harassment and victimization of women by various people who just did not get fired until, surprise, now, or very, very recently. There was an NBA sanction. Cuban wrote a big check to a Me Too-flavored charity, and it's all now just sort of supposed to go away. I will suggest to you that it did go away at tip-off last night. The vast majority of fans don't give a rip about what's going on in the office. We care as human beings. We don't want to have any office culture rife with sexual harassment, but the notion that this will somehow hurt ticket sales, I think, is ridiculous. If this team winds up being something close to good with a real center in DeAndre Jordan and a fascinating new player in Luka Doncic, if these guys, and you know, in the continuing agelessness of Dirk Nowitzki, if they start to put together a winning season, no one is going to care about anything else. But part of the buzz involves the fact that Mark Cuban is playing an incredibly close to the vest safe game here because he may want to launch an independent bid for the presidency. Cuban doesn't need to take advice from me about most things, but on this one he does. Don't do that, Mark. You'll be humiliated. I'll tell you what, after Trump is done with a wide open, field after presumably two terms, you could get independent candidacies by people like Michael Bloomberg, who's probably going to run as a Democrat if he runs at all, various other folks. It has been a wide open season on the definition of what makes a presidential candidate. But seriously, there's only one avenue toward a serious challenge to Trump in 2020, and that is through the actual Democratic Party. So and that, by the way, is fairly promising because whom do the Democrats have? Who really do they have? The two most beloved figures in Democrat land are unfortunately a combined 300 years old, and that's Bernie Sanders and Joe Biden. And I've got good things to say about both of these guys in terms of authenticity, in terms of relatability. I don't think they try to hose you. They kind of show you what they are. They tell you what they are. But Sanders is done. I think Biden is too. So that leaves you with this new wave of young folks who unfortunately are crazy as an outhouse rat people like Cory Booker and Kamala Harris. And then don't even get me started on the political suicide committed this week by Elizabeth Warren. So it's I think for a Democrat that maybe we're not even talking about right now, somebody who moves forward as somebody who's fairly reasonable. I mean, you've got to be liberal as the Democratic nominee, but I don't know. I think that the landscape is open for the Democratic nomination in 2020. If the economy continues successful, and if the Trump agenda continues successful, and if Republican and conservative enthusiasm for that agenda remains high, Trump wins. He could win 40 states in 2020. But 2 years out, it's not a good idea to predict stuff. And as I've told you now about 10 times, there is one name, precisely one name, that should strike fear into every Republican in terms of who might rise up and challenge President Trump. It is the strongest candidate the Democrats have. And we don't even know if she intends to run. And that is Michelle Obama. It's Michelle Obama. So we'll talk about that some. Somebody is on the horn about what I just did about, I don't know if it was with me on board about 30 minutes ago or something was on Fox 4, and we're in Fort Worth. Hey, James. Mark Davis, welcome. How are you?
I'm doing well this morning. Thank you for taking my call.
My pleasure.
And my thing is, see something, say something.
Right.
And anytime that happens, if you're wrong, you're branded a terrorist, a racist. And this isn't the first time.
Let me tell everybody what we're talking about. Is we've noticed a certain spate of events. In fact, James, since I've got a couple of minutes, did you watch when I was on Fox 4 30 minutes ago talking about this?
I did.
Okay, sit tight. I actually have it. Let me play it for everybody. Don't move. And because it's we've all seen the videos of late where some unassuming black person is like just trying to get to his apartment or something, and there's this white lady, you know, who wants him to give a blood test or something so he can get to his own door. Yeah, it was the first thing we talked about. It takes 45 seconds, and I'll come right back to you.
Hey, welcome back. It's 6:38 right now. Good morning to Mark Davis at the studios at 6:60 a.m. The Answer. One of the most shocking stories this week, a woman in St. Louis blocking one of her neighbors from going to his apartment. And the video was just disturbing. We got a ton of phone calls on that. I'm sure you did as well. The poor guy just trying to get to his apartment.
No doubt.
And pretty clearly, she didn't like the way he looked.
No, and gee, I wonder what the problem was. There's been a spate of these, and you guys have covered them, and we get calls about them, and just every once in a while, whether somebody's it all comes under the large category of persnickety white people either calling the cops or making trouble or interfering with black folks who are just trying to do normal things in the course of their lives. Now, everybody has one of these. Everybody has a cell phone. Everybody has, you know, we're all photojournalists now. So any instance of this is going to instantly go viral. The percentage of people actually doing this remains incredibly small. But one is too many. Five is too many. And I think that when things like this make the news and people like this, I don't know if everybody needs to get blown away from their job or get death threats or all this. We tend to crazily overreact sometimes. But if the fact that you might be chronicled and might wind up on the news the following day makes you want to just leave the black guy alone. If you, I have a suspicion about somebody. Is it based on anything? No. Then get on with your life and stop bothering people. So I kind of like the trend of everything going viral where we see this. And it also tends to remind people that stuff like this does still happen. As a conservative, I spend a lot of time talking to people about how racism is not nearly as bad in America as some people say it is, but it's not gone, and the evidence of its remaining vestiges shows up in stories like this every once in a while. Okay. All right. James, you still here? Okay, if I heard you correctly, it sounds like you wanted that you wanted to not necessarily stick up for this woman in particular, but as soon as you said see something, say something, which I'm an enormous fan of, what do you think this woman saw or in any of these cases that became infamous?
Well, I looked a little further. Apparently, the door was cracked open to the condo unit, and this person didn't use his key fob, and she doesn't recognize him. So I think she has, I think she's well within her right to say, wow. Hey, she might have taken it a little too far as far as how she appeared, but apparently this lady's married to a black man. I can't believe that she's excommunicated from society.
No, exactly. That's the overreaction that I referred to. And not every single
story.
Right. Not every single one of these stories is alike. I've seen some where it just looked like somebody was just giving a black person a rough ride just for the sake of it. Others have mitigating circumstances and possible explanations that deserve to be factored in. Also, nature of the beast, you're going to have some of these that are exaggerated, some of them that might well be outright manufactured because everybody thinks it's a thing now. So I think with every, and there'll be another one within a few days, I'm sure. And we should always look at the detailed minutiae, the facts and the evidence of each one before we jump to any conclusion. Okay, on that happy note. All righty, 866-660-5759. Let me go ahead and take the pause early because I want to give you some of Lindsey Graham on Hannity last night, because you do realize that, because here's the theme. Here comes the election, early voting already underway in places like Georgia. It is going to be underway in Texas on Monday. And what do we do? How do we keep what we might call the post-Kavanaugh bump, the post-Kavanaugh wave, alive? And Lindsey Graham has an idea with regard to the Senate races, and I'll let him tell you about it next. 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis. It's 7:18.
Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile, my curiosity running wild. Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go.
Cruising and playing the radio with no particular place to go. Maybe that's you right now. You probably do have a few places to go, and we thank you for sharing some space with us. The reason for that, of course, is, hey, it's Chuck Berry. What reason do you need? Except there is a special reason. That is that today is Chuck Berry's birthday. Chuck Berry, born 92 years ago today, passed away just last year. That is a life interestingly led Chuck Berry's birthday. I think we'll have a couple of tributes as we work our way through the broadcast day. Well, the tributes pile up for Lindsey Graham, who it's like, I like this guy. Who abducted Lindsey Graham and left us this guy? I don't know, but we like this guy. Lindsey Graham has always been inspiring when he's been right on various issues, and he's always been right on the majority of issues. Stuff like immigration will make you crazy. It's why that Lindsey Grahamnesty nickname was so well-earned. Somebody needs to check with him and see if he's coming around on that, because Lindsey Graham is possibly President Trump's greatest weapon in the Senate these days. And his point right now, and right now, one of the most valuable things anybody can do, senator, talk show host, bricklayer, accountant, homemaker, teacher, anybody, is keep the fire burning. Keep the enthusiasm alive. The tilting, the swinging of the pendulum in a Republican direction. There is there's a lot of speculation, anticipation of some type of nefarious October surprise. You've heard the term a million times. What is an October surprise? Well, it's October, so surprise. And what the surprise usually is some story that comes out, usually artificially timed, but maybe just some secret that's been kept close to the vest about a candidate or about some development that is delayed and for a strategic release mere days before an election designed to shift voting patterns. People are wondering if maybe, the Mueller report may drop or there may be some indictment that comes down within just days. Because it's funny, because often October surprises come from competing campaigns. In these days of swamp life, something designed to hurt President Trump or his agenda or the Republican Party could well come from people inside government who are out for him. That's what the swamp is. That's what the deep state is. It exists. And you've heard the commercials of late by Eric Metaxas about Donald drains the swamp. He's with us at 8:05. He's just a wonderful author, writer, thinker, and he made what looks like a kid's book, but it's not. It's in the form of a kid's book, Donald Drains the Swamp, Caveman Donald, looking to go after the people who are preventing prosperity there in his cave community. We'll talk with him at 8:05. But Lindsey Graham is doing yeoman's work right now in finding a way to keep enthusiasm alive, and that is to make sure that Republicans know, maybe to even make sure that independents and even some Democrats know, that if Democrats win the House, if Democrats win the Senate, the attitudes that we saw in the Kavanaugh hearings are going to be running the show. That people should be asking, for example, every Democrat should have to ask, are you or are you not with Dianne Feinstein, who has talked about restoring, reanimating certain investigations of Brett Kavanaugh if Democrats wind up back in power?
It's not funny, but in a way it is. I mean, apparently one kick of a mule is not enough for Senator Feinstein, who I like very much. But here's what I want every Democratic candidate for the Senate to be asked tomorrow. Do you agree with Dianne Feinstein? If Democrats take control of the Senate, are you for reopening the Kavanaugh investigation? Are you for more humiliation, degrading treatment of this fine man? Are you for continuing this debacle? Do you agree with Dianne Feinstein? If you get in charge of the Senate as Democrats, you're going to go after Kavanaugh again. I think every voter in all these Trump states that have Democratic senators needs to ask that question. Are you with Dianne or not?
We've been talking a lot about Hillary's comments, kick him, Eric Holder. You know, we have two politicians, Republicans in Minnesota, have been assaulted and punched.
Yeah.
One guy severely injured, a woman punched.
Yeah.
Maxine Waters, create a crowd, you know, follow them into grocery stores, gas stations, department stores. They're not wanted anywhere anymore. Like, she's going to be a leader if they take back the House?
Well, I think this is what happens when
you
can't win.
And you were spat at, by the way.
Yeah, I'll tell you about that. This is what happens when you can't win at the ballot box. You take those of us who did win and you try to intimidate us into bending to your will.
Listen, Lindsey Graham did get a glob of spit at him. That's not as bad as what happened at Susan Collins' house. She lives in Bangor, Maine. And you know Susan Collins, we've spent years talking about, hey, just sort of shrugging and saying, hey, New England Republican, probably, you know, more liberal than the Republicans we tend to like around here. But, you know, hey, at least she's got an R by her name and will vote with us most of the time. It was Susan Collins' razor sharp analysis and principled conclusion that led her to vote for Judge Kavanaugh to become Justice Kavanaugh. And I'll flat out tell you, I think her life is in danger. And I am not kidding. She and other key yes votes, Lindsey Graham for his activism and his passions. These people better have food tasters, and I am not kidding. A threatening letter that the writer said, "Hey, there's rice." You know, usually if you send a letter with rice in on it, you don't tend to say so in the text of the letter, so it may just be a prank. But this is today's left. This was sent to the home in Bangor, Maine, of Senator Susan Collins early Monday afternoon. And the police responded, and her husband, Tom, received the letter. And you've seen, and I know that somebody who chases somebody out of a restaurant isn't necessarily going to shoot somebody. But this is the mob atmosphere. This is the lawlessness. This is the craziness, the unhinged nature of many in today's left, that every Republican, every conservative, especially people who have been of particular value in forwarding some of the victories of late, they're in danger because of the tactics of some. I'll always say some. It's some average Democrat voter out there doing this, and good-hearted people who just disagree with me on the issues are as mortified by these tactics as I am. Well, I'll tell you what, then your side needs to police it up better and speak out against it more. 866-660-5759. I'm Mark Davis on 660 AM The Answer DFW and Freedom 1160 San Antonio.
Rain, won't you please go away? Save all your grace, guys, for another day.
Rain, Won't You Please Go Away, a little meteorological music moment. And this one is from Gordon Griffin's enormous library of contemporary Christian knowledge. And that is Mark Farner, famous for his days as lead guitarist, lead vocalist for Grand Funk. A little tune called Isn't It Amazing. It begins with Rain, Please Go Away. Had my share of your trials and tears. I found someone new who'll make them all disappear. Isn't it amazing what prayer can do? Mark Farner of Grand Funk. Look at there. All righty. Mike Gallagher is here. Mike, I have a question for you.
I love that. I love Isn't It Amazing What Prayer Can Do.
There you
and
go.
I'm just thinking, I'm thinking about the context of what we're up against 3 weeks from yesterday, huh?
Yep.
When the countdown is on.
It is. And so here, okay, actually, then in that case, I have two questions. Very specific one, but here's my broad one. Is the election so soon on the near horizon that we're good to go here, and the post-Kavanaugh bump, the immolation of the Democratic Party, that we're good, or... Or do we just wish that the election were tomorrow? Because 3 weeks is an eternity. Everyone will forget. Something else will happen. Which of those is closer to your thought?
You want the happy conservative warrior? You want the optimist?
Do you want
the pessimist? The pessimist in me says 3 more weeks is a long time.
Yep.
I actually wish the election was like the day after Kavanaugh was confirmed.
That would have been nice if it were a couple weeks ago. Exactly.
Yeah. That's what I'm
worried about.
But let's not underestimate the ability of the Democrats to ramp up their hysteria and their rage. There's more and more of these violent incidents that are happening. A professor out at the University of Mississippi, a faculty member, said, don't just interrupt Republicans' meals. You go ahead and put your whole damn fingers in their salads.
Okay.
Go after them. Lindsey Graham, as you mentioned a few minutes ago, was spat upon.
Yep.
This keeps happening. A couple of Republicans in Minnesota were physically assaulted, shaken to the core. You know, as we're getting closer, the Democrats are getting more sort of hysterical, which has to be a good sign. They must be really, really worried, Mark.
That's a golden piece of analysis, because it sounds like as the election draws nearer, Democrat passions are growing, but those passions are communicated in ways where they shoot themselves in the foot, whether it's a horrible act of violence or and I don't mean to make too much of this. It was kind of a one day story, but it speaks for the ages. The incredible miscalculation of Elizabeth Warren thinking she won the DNA battle when it was Democrats ridiculed her for that.
And that's the takeaway of the day. You're going to love this Ben Shapiro golden analysis. He writes a piece over at the Daily Wire. The reason Democrats get away with all of the crazy stuff they get away with, and Elizabeth Warren is the latest example, he says the fact is the Democrats know they can always count on the media.
Right.
Only the media will cover for any instance of leftist political manipulation. They'll cover for Elizabeth Warren lying about her ancestry. They'll cover for Beto O'Rourke driving drunk, plowing into a truck, and then attempting to flee the scene of a crime. They'll cover for Arizona Senate candidate Kristen Sinema saying that she didn't care if Americans joined the Taliban. I mean, they cover for that. The CNN headline, he said, was Kristen Sinema's anti-war activist past under scrutiny as she runs for Senate. She said she didn't care if Americans joined the Taliban. So Democrats know they've got the media in their hip pocket, but Ben's great analysis, Mark, says non-Democrats see the game. And every time the media simply parrot Democratic talking points on issues like Elizabeth Warren's ancestry, they undercut their credibility. Large media institutions have done more than anyone, including Trump, to destroy their reputations with the American people. Their pathetic behavior over the last few weeks in the approach to the midterms shows that they're doubling down on stupid. I love that analysis.
I do,
Mark.
Too. And is it possible that after how many years, you and I have been doing shows for a long time, how many years have we said, when will the public open their collective eyes? When will they be on to media corruption, media bias? We've been sitting here, you know, crowing about this forever, and we've always been right, but it's always been like preaching to the choir, and only other conservatives will nod in agreement. Everybody else goes, you would get the occasional thing that, you know, the media aren't that biased, blah, 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 it's just because you're conservative. But now it seems like eyes are wide open, and everybody is seeing the depth of sinister skullduggery, and I, not to make like everything about him, but I'll tell you, it is the Trump era that has done it. His fearlessness, his bull in the china shop, his sharp elbows have just made, have brought the media under proper scrutiny, even by people who haven't been paying attention for long.
No, I think that's spot on. I'm also worried too about the place of comfort we can get to. We cannot get complacent. Nothing's gone right for the Democrats. Make no mistake about it. Even the people, 16,000 people donated to Stormy Daniels' Legal Defense Fund, which means those 16,000 people are going to be funding President Trump. A big chunk is going to have to go to the president because the judge ruled in throwing out her defamation lawsuit that she has to pay his legal fees. Well, her funds, she has $600,000 in her legal defense fund. She's going to have to turn that legal defense fund over Trump. So if you were one of the dingbats who gave to Stormy Daniels' legal fund because you thought you were going to stop Trump, now you're funding Donald Trump. How's that feel?
President Trump says, thank you. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
I appreciate you. I love you.
This is a big bank account. But I'm worried that we're going to hear that stuff and we're going to say, this is like the gang that can't shoot straight. Everything's going wrong for these guys, and we're going to stay home. You cannot stay home. I mean, believe me, the world is watching the Ted Cruz, Robert O'Rourke, battle. The world is watching that, Mark, and Ted's got he's got to win.
We've got to get people off their couches, no complacency, and give him the double digit, or as close as we can get to it, that win that will make the Democratic Party go, hey, we tried, and let's leave that. And you know what's funny? Once again, Beto and Ted, national coverage. Beto is probably the most famous Democrat challenger in America, and yet if you take a look at the drama of this, it's an insurgent attempt to topple a state's usual politics, and because the media hate Ted Cruz and love Beto, you get all of this fawning coverage of him. But if you flip the coin and you make it somebody else who's incredibly honorable, no DWIs on his record, and he's trying to flip a state and trying to go after an incumbent, I'm talking about John James in Michigan, African-American war hero who's closing in the polls on Debbie Stabenow. Nobody knows who he is. No media fawning or coverage of him, and he deserves it.
He deserves it.
Because if that happens, and you know what the difference is between Beto O'Rourke and John James? John James has a chance of winning. It's small because it's Michigan and she's popular, but Beto's if his chances are 20%, that's 20 more than Beto. But you're right. We cannot be complacent.
And on the other side, the Democrats, one more chapter of how everything's going wrong for them. Heidi Heitkamp. Wow.
Yeah, okay. Does everybody know? Tell everybody what she did, and it's activism gone very wrong. Go ahead.
Well, she her campaign put out a newspaper ad, and they identified actual survivors of sexual abuse who did not want their names used. She issued an apology for this ad. She is taking total responsibility. There are people, one of the sexual abuse victims is saying she now fears for her safety because she's afraid her attacker has the ability to find her.
Yep.
I mean, it's an awful, awful story, and it could not have come at a worse time for Heidi Heitkamp. She's in a very tough battle in North Dakota. The bitter fight over Brett Kavanaugh's confirmation. She's the one who voted against it only after she was set to vote for him, but she saw his testimony with the sound off and didn't like this facial contortion.
How thoughtful.
And that's what made... Yeah, how thoughtful. So she's going to thoughtful her way right out of a job, especially with this mistake. Many in North Dakota are telling me, I mean, she's already down now 10, 12 points in the polls. She's done. She's finished.
Yep. Matt Rosendale is going to win that race, I think. And
I think he is. And
the interesting thing is there's something extra sweet about this, because what got her in this trouble, I mean, why in the world was she even dealing with a list of sexual misbehavior victims or whatever? It is because Heidi Heitkamp bought into the lib index card that only the Democrat Party can stand up for women at all, much less women who have been victims of sexual assault, sexual misbehavior. And it was an attempt to go after her, opponent. And Rosendale's in Montana. I'm talking about Kevin Kramer is the guy in North Dakota.
Kramer,
thank you.
Thank you. I think it's Kevin.
I picked the wrong desolate desolate, frozen northern state. It was not Montana, but North Dakota.
I wasn't plugged into North Dakota like I should be.
Kevin Cramer, exactly. And she was she's trying to go after Kevin Cramer and suggesting that, hey, all these women must vote the same, that the notion of victim status makes us all Democrats. And that is just so nefarious, so sinister, so wrong. And to have that backfire on her is golden.
Well, again, and it's just another example. Nothing's going right for these guys, and that bodes well. But let's not get cocky.
I know it scares me a little. I'm embracing my nervousness and hoping, and I hope that it just energizes me, energizes you to just keep everybody on our game, because we're not done yet. We're at the beginning of the fourth quarter, and we got to finish this off.
Part of the big battle, again, back here in Texas, of course, Beto O'Rourke, Ted Cruz, Monday night, big rally in Houston. The president's going to be there. They'll be at the NRG Arena, and my buddy Mike Lindell is going to speak.
Oh, my gosh, so cool.
And he's going to give us a preview today on the Mike Gallagher Show at 11:45. He's going to tell us a little bit about being one of the featured speakers at this big rally.
Now, are you, speaking of rallies and events and stuff, where are you? Hewitt is in Tampa. All of you are in Tampa because you guys have a thing tonight.
Hewitt's in a studio next to me, and I'm making faces at him, and I'm giving him a hard time. Tonight, though, don't tell him, but tonight, the first question on stage in front of hundreds of people,
and we're
going to be on stage with Sebastian Gorka and Kevin
McEnany. Hello, Mike. Hello, Hugh. Bring me a latte.
But I have to ask Hugh, because Hugh is the one who famously insists there is no deep state.
Are you going to taunt Hugh at a live event?
I'm going to say just four words. Natalie Mayflower Sowers Edwards. Hey, Hugh, this senior official at the Treasury Department who just got arrested holding the flash drive in her hand as they made the arrest, leaking confidential financial documents pertaining to former Trump officials. Hey, Hugh, still want to insist there's no deep state? We keep seeing evidence after evidence of a confirmable deep state, Mark.
I love our events.
Hugh's like, no, there's no. There's
I love
no deep
our
state.
Events.
There's no deep, and he'll get all mad at me, and he'll stomp around, and then I'll really get him fired up, and I'm going to say they ought to be kicking reporters out of the press briefing into the White House.
No, you
can't do that. That can't. He's last time I said that, he turned purple, and he said, "You're shredding the Constitution." It's a little bit like me saying that they should have planted the flag on the moon.
It's exactly that futile. Exactly.
With you,
the two of you. He must know that this assault is coming from you, because you know why.
Oh no, he knows.
He's
looking at me very warily. We're like right now. It's like Ali and Frazier. We're sort of circling the halls.
Down goes Frazier. I am doing
like a butterfly, sting like a bee.
You can't hit what you can't see. I'm doing. Wow, good Lord, channeling Ali. I am doing the Hewitt show tomorrow. I'm doing Hewitt tomorrow.
Oh, good.
Yeah, so
of course, because I'm the only schlub who hauls around all the equipment.
We're live
streaming. I got cameras. I got lights. I got Phil Boyce saying, "Where's your background? You got to have your green screen." So now we got a doggone green screen. Hewitt, everybody else, they just take days off. They do normal things.
I like when they do
guest
that.
I don't miss a day. I don't miss a day. I'm like the guy in the back flipping the hamburgers, never missing an order. You know, so here we go.
Well, I'll give you a quality lead in tomorrow nationally.
I'll talk about the deep state. You'll get those listeners in the right direction.
I can't. Sorry.
And I'll remind you about that. I'll say at least your guest host tomorrow.
Stop it. Everybody likes me right now.
I can't wait. I'm gonna have a field time. And incidentally, can you call off your dogs, your wolf pack listeners? I get it. The flag and the moon.
I didn't say anything to anybody.
Mark is right. You're such an idiot.
You asked for it, dude.
You got to go see the movie.
You asked for it. You created this. I've told you I'll do that.
Grapevine Mills. Okay. I like Grapevine Mills.
Grapevine Mills is good. You got it.
I want to see them not plant the flag on the lunar surface.
And you won't miss it at all. You'll know it happened.
I want to see the commie pinko moon.
He's ready. And he is right after we are done from Tampa today with a big event that he'll tell you about tomorrow. And Hugh Hewitt's there. And we've got our big event, of course. The reason we're not plugging that so much with Mike is that thing is a sellout. Battleground Talkers is a sellout. Thank you. Appreciate it very, very much. And with that, let's scoot. Mike Gallagher's up right after we're done on 660 AM. The Answer, and right around the bend on AM 930. The Answer in San Antonio. I'm Mark Davis, 752. All right, way too much fun with Mike these days. The first hour is done. Appreciate it. Happy Thursday, everybody. I'm Mark Davis. Follow me on Twitter, 660 AM The Answer, DFW, Freedom 1160, San Antonio.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.